Hey everyone, today's lesson is all about awareness, being aware. We all know that it's easy to gain weight, it's much harder to lose weight, and it's even harder than that to maintain weight loss. But why, when we know so many of the right things to do? Most of us know we're supposed to eat fruits and vegetables. We're supposed to eat lean protein. Many of us even know we're supposed to get a certain amount of healthy fat in our diet. But there are so many areas that we slip up in simply because we are not completely aware. So in today's lesson, I want to help you become more aware so you can help your clients be more aware as well. Unless you were born yesterday, you know that Americans eat too much food. One of the reasons we eat too much food is because we lose the ability to listen to our bodies. We have to relearn listening to our bodies, which is why listening to your body and your HQ and thinking about that scale of 1 to 10 is so important and is a huge part of this program. I can't tell you how many times I've asked clients about their food likes and dislikes, and a client has said to me, well, I like bananas, but I don't eat them, too much sugar. Or, yeah, I love carrots and beets, but I don't put them on salads because that's too much sugar there. Yet they're consuming bags of jelly beans and Hershey bars. We are not gaining weight. We are not an obese nation because we are eating too many carrots or bananas or kale chips. We are just not. I can promise you that. We are over-consuming all sorts of foods, but it's not those fruits and vegetables that we're over-consuming that's getting us. So where are we slipping up? What are the foods that are giving us the most trouble? Many of these foods are things that you're not even fully aware of. Some of them are the more obvious ones, like baked goods, cookies, candy. We know we shouldn't be eating those things, but some of them are less obvious. Let's take a look at the biggest category of foods that we should be avoiding. I really don't like focusing on what we shouldn't be doing. I like to spend my energy telling people what they should be doing so people can eat from an empowered place and think about all the good things they can put into their body, not the things they shouldn't have. It's negative energy thinking, I can't have that, and I can't have that, and I can't have that. But it is important in terms of raising our overall awareness to know and to be aware of those top 10 categories of foods that are causing us the most trouble, because some of them are a little less obvious than others. I have the attached list in a handout for you that you can download for your clients as well, but I'm going to run through them quickly here for you today. The group of food categories that I'm going to go over are filled with things like sugar, unhealthy fats, sodium, artificial ingredients, and also they do nothing for you. They're not doing good for your body. So they have all of the bad without any good. And these are the big categories of foods that we should really do our best to avoid. Baked goods. Lots of unhealthy fat and sugar, coffee drinks loaded with sugar, often artificial sweeteners, and also fat. Fat-free foods offer little nutrition and loaded with extra sugar. Fatty meats, we all know high-fat meat associated with cancer. Fried foods, sodium and unhealthy fats. Nitrates found in processed foods and are linked to all sorts of cancers. Soda, high in sugar, we know linked to obesity and also affects our bone health. Artificial sweeteners, loaded with chemicals and also linked with obesity. Sugars in general, candy, cookies, cakes. Sugars, not just candy, I'm talking about hidden sugars found in everything from salad dressing to ketchup. Trans fats, you'll see partially hydrogenated in ingredient lists and chips and all sorts of packaged products. These are linked to inflammation and obesity. And yes, there are even more ingredients that you should be aware of. More ingredients, chemicals, artificial junk that is thrown into our food that we do need to be aware of. But these were just the 10 sort of big ones, the big categories that I really want you to be aware of and think of, because they may be sneaking up on you. If you avoid these foods and you listen to your body, meaning you stop eating when you're slightly satisfied, you learn to eat when you're slightly hungry, and you focus on those real foods, again, avoiding the categories of the foods I just talked about, I can promise you, you are most likely going to lose weight, and you are absolutely going to be a much healthier and happy person. Now I'm going to dive into some of the most common issues that are causing us to gain weight and making it difficult for us to lose weight. Let's start with artificial sweeteners. There are very few things that I say never to, but artificial sweeteners is one of those things that I tell my clients absolutely none. I don't want you having any. I don't want one packet, a half a packet, a little bit here or there. I don't want any artificial sweeteners in your diet. Artificial sweeteners are 200 to 700 times sweeter than sugar. When we consume that sweetness without the calories behind them, our body goes looking for those calories later on. So basically, we're tricking our bodies. And artificial sweeteners are linked to obesity, type 2 diabetes, and even cancer. So don't think just because artificial sweeteners don't have calories that they are a good weight loss tool, and absolutely do not think that they have any place in a healthy diet. And once in a while, someone will even say to me, oh, well, I can have it in my coffee because that's not me. I don't crave more sweets. Well, do you crave bread? Do you crave pasta? Chances are you're craving it somewhere. And here's why you can't beat the system. There are taste receptors on your tongue that taste sweetness, whether it's from artificial sweeteners or real sweet calories from sugar. Your tongue has these receptors that taste the sweetness, and those receptors are throughout your gut. So in your digestive system, there are receptors that are also tasting that sweetness, whether it's from artificial sweeteners or from sugar, and that's where insulin is released. So those artificial sweeteners, even though they don't have the sugar calories to follow, they are still causing the insulin response. And we've talked about insulin. Increasing insulin is going to make you gain weight. We do not want our insulin raising, especially artificially. Still need more convincing? Studies show that diet soda consumption has been linked with everything from stroke to a high waist circumference. Okay, great, you're now thinking, what do I do? I'm addicted to artificial sweeteners. I've had people tell me that they put 12 packets in iced tea in the morning and then add 3 packets to yogurt later on and then eat candy with artificial sweetener. People are basically snorting this stuff. We've got to get it out of our systems. So what do? Where do you begin? When I'm working with a client, it's really important to know whether or not that person can go cold turkey or have to cut back slowly. If I think the person can handle going cold turkey, absolutely, we just do it. We stop it right away. And many people actually want to take on that challenge. Once I explain how bad artificial sweeteners are for you, they kind of jump on that and say, I'm going for it. I'm getting them out of my diet right now. And I love that. But that doesn't work for everyone. It's super important to know your audience. Know the client you're working with, because not everyone can go cold turkey. And if that's the case, do not judge, do not pressure, do not overwhelm that person with feeling like they have to do it right then and there. Any progress they make is good progress. So here's what I do. If the person is a diet soda drinker, I try to cut the diet soda in half. So for example, if they're drinking 4 diet sodas, we go from 4 diet sodas to 2 diet sodas and 2 club sodas, and then cut back from there. Or we even just cut back by 1 and replace it with a club soda. For someone that's having 4 packets or 2 packets or even 1 packet in their morning coffee or tea and or their afternoon coffee or tea, I try to cut it in half at each occasion. Because flavor is a good thing, not a bad thing, I try to get people to add in and experiment with new flavors, things like vanilla extract, cinnamon, nutmeg, and other herbs and spices. Adding in new flavors like this keeps people's food more fun, more creative, and it's a great way to get them appreciating the natural flavors and natural sweetness found in foods. Eventually, people learn to enjoy the real sweetness of food. Fruit, the most obvious natural sweet food, but when you're used to consuming things that are loaded with artificial sweeteners, something like raspberries doesn't even taste sweet. When you remove those artificial sweeteners from your diet, raspberries all of a sudden taste like a sweet treat. That's not something that's going to happen overnight, but once people remove these things from their diet and learn to appreciate the real flavors of food, food becomes more enjoyable and they get back to really the way they were supposed to be eating in the first place. Now that you know all about artificial sweeteners, I want to talk about another common trap people fall into: not knowing how to read a nutrition label. And I know talking about a nutrition label is about as exciting as standing in line at the DMV. Unfortunately, though, I gotta do it. I'm a nutritionist, and nutrition labels are just a part of our lives. Unless you are eating everything straight from the farm, which, by the way, would be fantastic, and I would love to do that, but I know in my life that's not possible to never have anything out of a bag or a box. It's very difficult. I try to eat as few packaged processed foods as possible. And I want you to do that, and I want you to encourage your clients to do that. But it's really difficult to never have anything with a nutrition label on it. So let's get started. Two rules when it comes to nutrition label. Number one, try to read as few of them as possible. And what I mean there is don't do your homework and don't not be informed, but just try to eat as few foods as possible that even come with a label. The next rule of thumb to remember is that reading the nutrition facts panel, that's where you're going to see the calories, the carbs, the protein, without reading the ingredient list comes right below the nutrition facts panel, is kind of like buying a house by standing outside and just looking at the house without even going inside and seeing what's going on inside. So remember, the nutrition facts panel goes together with the ingredient list, and they are both important. And as a matter of fact, if I had to read one, I would only read the ingredient list before the nutrition facts panel. But I'm going to dive into both with you today. So let's break down that nutrition facts panel now. You need to look first at the serving size because everything else in the nutrition label leads back to that serving size. You may be eating something that you think is one serving, but really there are two servings. The serving size might say half a cup, and then the servings per package may be two. So if the calories say 100 for a half a cup, there's actually 200 calories in that bag of whatever it is that you're eating. So it's really important to remember to do that math and know what you're consuming. The next thing we see on here is calories from fat. Now, this to me really points to the fact that this nutrition facts panel is really old school. Calories from fat, why are they getting a shout out? Calories from fat, protein, and carbs should all be listed if that's going to be listed there. I think it's left over right there, right below calories, from the time when we thought that fat was a bad thing. But we're too smart for that now. We know that fat is equally important to carbs and protein. So don't be thrown by the calories from fat there. I still think that they trip people up because people think, oh no, it has all these fat calories in there. Meanwhile, it could be a bag of olives, and olives are, yes, a lot of fat because they are mostly fat because they're all healthy fat and they are a healthy food. So don't be thrown by the calories right there. Remember, you have to look at the big picture here. So let's go down to total fat. What's more important than the total fat grams is what type of fat is in there. Saturated fat, trans fat, monounsaturated fat, polyunsaturated fat. The mono and the polys are the healthier types of fat. But even saturated fat has a small role in our diet. If you're eating something like coconut, there is going to be some saturated fat in there, and that is actually a healthy type of saturated fat. But for the most part, you do want to look for a low saturated fat and then more monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, and you absolutely want to stay away from items with trans fats. Next, we see cholesterol. Many foods are marketed with things that say no cholesterol, but here's the thing. Cholesterol is only found in animal products. So if you see chips that say cholesterol free, well, you know what? Those bag of chips do not get a gold star. They shouldn't have any cholesterol because chips are not an animal product. Sodium. Most of us consume too much sodium. The thing to think about with sodium is that we find it in so many foods where we don't even realize it. You often find sodium in foods that are sweet. So you may think you're the type of person that has your sodium under control. You don't use a salt shaker. You don't even really like salty foods. But sodium may be sneaking in if you're eating a lot of packaged foods. Sodium is used as a preservative, so it's often in foods that you don't even realize have it. So if you are consuming more packaged foods, definitely take a look at how much sodium you're consuming, and then look at the percent daily value next to it. The percent daily value is based on a 2,000 calorie diet. You may need more calories, you may need less calories. Just use that as a frame of reference to understand how much sodium you are consuming. Next, we have total carbs. What I always tell people here, as a frame of reference, remember that one slice of bread is about 15 grams of carbs. So if you're consuming something that has 45 grams of carbs in the serving that you're having, you have to realize that in terms of carbs, it's like having three slices of bread. But what's equally as important to thinking about that is also looking at where you're getting your carbs from. Look at the dietary fiber and look at the sugars. There should always be more fiber than sugar. Remember, we want to have as much fiber and as little sugar in our diets as possible. Next up, protein. Protein is something that provides satiety, most of us are actually consuming adequate amounts of protein, and I do like people to get some protein at every single meal, but you want to be aware of what is the protein source in the item you're consuming. Often, packaged processed foods are foods that aren't naturally protein heavy, but they have protein in them from things like soy protein isolate, from synthetic forms of protein that I'm actually not a fan of. So you really need to make sure that you read the ingredient list. But we've already said that that's really important, so you're definitely doing that. Below protein, you'll see in the finer print, vitamin A, vitamin C, calcium, and iron. Those four vitamins and minerals are required to be on the label. Companies can choose to add others. And like I already mentioned with the percent daily value, the percentages that are shown there are based on a 2,000 calorie diet. Again, you may need more calories or less calories. Just use those numbers as a frame of reference to understand how much calcium, how much iron, and if you're getting any vitamin C or vitamin A in what you're consuming. When you look at the ingredient list, first of all, you want to have as few ingredients as possible. You need to remember that the ingredient that is listed first is the primary ingredient. So if you pick something up that says blueberry whole wheat something and the first three ingredients are types of sugars, you know that you should put that food item right back on the shelf. Another reason you may not be losing weight, or you may have gained weight, or your clients may have gained weight or may be having trouble losing weight, is something as innocent as water. Water affects our hunger, metabolism, mood, and energy. Water makes up the majority of our bodies. We need to think of ourselves as mostly water, and we need to be replenishing that water in our bodies constantly in order to function at our best, to be our healthiest, to be our most energetic, to be our happiest, and to be at our most healthy weight. The next time you're a little bit hungry and you think, well, should I be hungry? I ate just a couple hours ago. Have a glass of water. Wait 5 minutes and see if you're still hungry. Chances are you may not have been hungry at all. You really just needed a glass of water. Research has also found that when people drank 2 cups of water before every meal for 3 months, they lost an additional 5 pounds as compared to a group of people who ate the same exact diet but didn't have those 2 cups of water. So stay hydrated. We all want to have the best metabolism we possibly can, and when you drink water adequately, you are going to be maximizing your metabolism. Research has shown that when people are properly hydrated, their metabolism is up even 30%. When you consume water, you're basically maximizing the way your body functions. The research showed that when people had 17 ounces of water, their metabolism 10 minutes after consuming that water was raised by 30% and maxed out at about 30 to 40 minutes after consuming that water. So keep drinking that water all day long. We all know we need to exercise for many, many, many different reasons. One of them is to increase our metabolism, increase our muscle mass, help us lose weight, improve our mood. One way that water helps us with exercise and helps us to reap all of those other benefits from exercise is because when we are properly hydrated, we're less likely to fatigue. We're going to do a better job. We are going to exercise harder and longer, burn more calories, increase our muscle mass, and enjoy the process of exercising more, which will hopefully lead us to exercising even more. Another reason you absolutely have to stay properly hydrated is to protect your mood. You know, when you're in a bad mood, first of all, who wants to be in a bad mood? Who wants to feel cranky? But we also know that those feelings can lead to eating the wrong types of foods or possibly even skipping the gym. Just being the teeniest bit dehydrated, 1.36% dehydration, can lead to a worsened mood. Think about that. Just by consuming water, you could actually improve your mood and improve all of the other benefits that go along with having a better mood. That is, to me, probably the best reason to make sure that you're drinking up and drinking the right things. So how much should we be drinking? The 8 glasses of water a day is actually a little bit of a myth. It's somewhat of an arbitrary number. But here's the thing. I still tell people to consume those 8 glasses of water. Most people don't consume enough. And by giving them an out, it's sort of like making it too easy for them not to be properly hydrated, because most people are under hydrated. Most people are not consuming enough water. So by giving them the number 8, yes, they might need a slight bit less. They might need a little bit more. It depends on your activity level, your height and weight, your gender. It really does depend on you as an individual. However, the 8 glasses a day is still a great goal. Also, what's easier than filling a 32-ounce water bottle twice per day and knowing that you meet your mark? You can also get water in a lot of other places. High water volume foods are one of the best ways to also help with your hydration status. Fruits, vegetable, loaded with water volume. That's going to help you stay full, but also you're going to find all those great nutrients, including fiber. That's also going to help you stay full. So think about other ways to meet your hydration status. Fruits and vegetables, herbal teas, even foods like oatmeal that soak up water are ways to help you increase your hydration status. You may have been surprised to hear how important hydration status and water was to your diet and to maintaining a healthy body weight, but the next one may surprise you more. Well, you've probably heard that sleep is essential to being a healthy person. It's getting a lot of play lately in the news. However, people still don't buy it. They're still not grasping the concept that sleep is equally as important as what you consume when it comes to your health and your waistline. Think of sleep as a whole other food group. It's essential to being a healthy person, to being a happy person, and to maintaining a healthy body weight. I explain to people that all of that good nutrition they're putting into their bodies during the day is almost, not completely, but almost going to be wasted if they don't sleep well at night. All of those great nutrients that you're putting into your body during the day need to go to work. And when they go to work, they go to work at night. When you're sleeping, all of those antioxidants are going and fighting those bad guy free radicals that cause inflammation and cause heart disease and wrinkles. All that great protein that you consume during the day is working to repair your muscles and increase your muscle mass, which will increase your metabolism. You've got to sleep in order for those nutrients to go to work. It's absolutely critical. Think of your smartphone. You have to charge that smartphone at night so it can make its updates and it can recharge its batteries. You have to do the same thing. When you don't sleep well, your hormones are affected. Your hunger hormone, ghrelin, increases, and leptin, your satisfaction hormone, the hormone that tells you that you're satisfied and you can stop eating, decreases. So when you wake up the next day and you feel kind of like, oh, you're just not, I mean, who's happy? Who feels good when they haven't had a good night's sleep? Not many people. You already don't feel great, and now your hormones are working against you. When you don't sleep properly, research after research shows that you eat more. You consume more calories. Women who don't sleep the right amount eat on average 329 calories more than someone who has slept adequately. People also consume the worst kinds of food. People actually consume the foods that we should be staying away from. The foods that I already mentioned are in that big bad category of things we should stay away from. You crave those foods that you think are going to make you feel better, that you think are going to give you that energy fix. Things like sweets, carbohydrates, refined baked goods. That's because they do give you that little bit of that immediate sugar rush, but then you crash. Have you ever had a horrible night's sleep and woken up and said, I'd love a bowl of oatmeal with a hard-boiled egg on the side and a bowl of berries? Probably not. You probably thought to yourself, I'm craving a bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel. Your body is wired to sleep. And when you don't sleep properly, the wires go haywire and you crave the worst things. The snowball effect of doing damage to your body continues. So how much sleep is enough? You've probably heard it, 7 to 8 hours, and that's accurate. That is because when you start to get less sleep, your risk for obesity increases. 5 hours of sleep is associated with a 50% more likely chance of becoming obese. That's huge. I'm sure all of you out there, and I'm sure many of the people you've worked with, get 5 hours of sleep regularly. It's really important to make sure that we understand all of this research and how important this is to a healthy diet, how important sleep is to a healthy diet, because many people out there are still not convinced, and oftentimes it's the key element. It's that one thing that is causing them to hold on to weight, to not be able to make these changes in their life in terms of having the energy to exercise, craving the right types of foods. So it's really key that you take a look at the research that I've attached so you have that as backup evidence for you, for yourself, but also to show to your clients. And give yourself a break. Don't think you're lazy or you're doing something bad or you're not being productive or efficient if you take a nap. Naps are incredibly useful in terms of increasing the amount of sleep that you get in a day. If you have the ability to nap for 20 minutes, it's a great way, and more research is actually associating that with being an overall healthier person. So try to squeeze in naps if you do have a schedule that doesn't allow you to get those 7 hours at one time. Just like you hear about clean eating, I want you to think about clean sleeping. It's important that we all practice good sleep hygiene techniques. We all need a sleep routine. To get your Z's, remember your B's. Banish electronics. That means ditch that iPhone, the iPad, the computer, the TV, anything that is electronic in the bedroom, shut it down at least 20 to 30 minutes before you go to bed. Speaking of bed, have a bedtime. Just like you'd give your kids a bedtime, give yourself a bedtime. It's so funny how people will schedule things in like doctor's appointments or meetings for work or meeting their trainer or all of these other things they'll schedule appointments for, but they don't give themselves a bedtime. They don't schedule when they need to go to bed. People even make lunch appointments or even schedule a time that they're going to get their lunch in so they can have it before they go somewhere else. But people so often forget to give themselves that bedtime. It's critical because if you don't give yourself a bedtime, what you often end up doing is sitting there playing on your iPad, talking to a friend, reading a magazine, or just watching TV for a couple extra hours. You need to give yourself a bedtime so you have a goal of when you need to wind down and turn off those electronics. And then you also have that time that you are going to be getting into bed. I also want you, as part of your clean sleeping routine, to breathe. Doing your deep breathing, your 8-count breath, is a really good thing to do before you go to bed, especially if you're the type of person that doesn't easily wind down. It's incredibly helpful to get you into the right zone, to reduce your stress, to help you relax before you try to put your head on the pillow. Also, you have to be comfortable. Make sure that the temperature in your room is the right temperature and you feel comfortable and you're not too hot and you're not too cold. If you do get a little bit cold, even consider putting some socks on, but make sure that the room is comfortable. Your environment needs to be clean of noise as well. So even maybe consider having a white noise machine if there are noises in your sleep environment. But really important that you have a comfortable environment. The next B is brainstorm. If there are things on your mind before you go to bed, you know what? You're not going to fall asleep well, and you may even wake up in the middle of the night, and you're not going to be in as deep of a sleep. So brainstorm for a few minutes before you go to bed. Write down the things that you might be stressed about or things that maybe you're not even stressed about but are just on your mind that you have to handle the next day. Write them down. When you write them down, it's almost like you're taking them out of your brain, putting them on the paper, and you're going to readdress it the next day. Finally, bliss out a little bit. Before you go to bed, take a shower with a little lavender essential oil or make yourself a cup of chamomile tea. Chamomile tea consumed regularly has been shown to be as effective as even some sleep medications. So do something that becomes part of your bedtime ritual that helps you relax, whether it's that cup of tea or it's a shower or maybe it's a facial mask or maybe it's even just lighting a candle and just lying down doing your deep breathing while you smell that candle. This is not part of your bedtime ritual, but it's part of clean sleeping. I want you to ditch the snooze button. I had a client come in and she was telling me how she was getting about 6 hours of sleep every night. We went through when she went to bed, when she woke up, and I was asking her about her morning routine. And I realized that she was getting out of bed an hour after her alarm went off. That hour of sleep where you snooze, sleep a little bit, snooze, sleep a little bit, that's not good quality sleep. So either set your alarm for a half an hour later and don't snooze for an hour, or set your alarm, get up and get a workout in. Choose one or the other. Either get up and be efficient with that hour or sleep more. For this person, because she was sleep deprived and she wasn't getting enough hours of sleep, we actually didn't even increase her sleep time by half an hour. We gave her that full hour. We just set the alarm for an hour later and decided that 3 days a week she was going to sleep a full extra hour, be well rested when her alarm went off, get up and go. And on the other two mornings, she set her alarm a half an hour later, got up and had a half an hour workout. In today's lesson, we went through some of the most common things that we are not normally aware of that may be causing us to hold on to weight and not lose weight, and maybe doing that for you, for your clients. These are the things that affect many people in America. But other things I want you to remember are things like stress. We covered that in another webinar, and we even went through common foods that can help you combat stress and tools that you can use for yourself and your client to help people control stress and emotional eating. But other things to also be aware of are things like your environment, even your schedule. Your work schedule can be making you eat things that you're not even necessarily aware of, and you don't even realize how impactful that is on your diet. And then things like friends and family, people you surround yourself with. You may not be aware of how they're influencing your diet. And not only may this be happening for you, but it's something to also keep in mind when you're talking to your clients. You have to remember to bring those things up and to dig and to ask questions about the people they're surrounding themselves with and how their kids are affecting their diet. That's one that many people bring up. They'll say, oh, I pick off my kid's plate, but they might not be talking about what they're eating when they're out with, let's say, their husband or their girlfriends. So make sure to be aware of all of these things. The environment itself, people's actually environment of their organization, of how they keep their desk, things like their structure of their refrigerator, the people they surround themselves with, stress, hydration, sleep, packaged foods that are tripping people up. Be aware of all of these things for you and for your clients, and I promise you're going to help people live a much healthier life.